according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sister are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking at those seated in a circle around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Saturday, three of us were crazy enough to be here as we focused a little bit on Jesus' relatives going to the house and trying to rip him out because they said that he was out of his mind. Today, those cousins, and just a short little apologetic point, that there is no word to distinguish in Hebrew between brothers and sisters and cousins. Relatives is the word that extends to everyone. So today, Jesus' cousins drag his mother along to the house where this crazy, itinerant preacher with no place to lay his head says that you don't need to be rich to be happy, but poor in spirit. You don't need to be the life of the party, but you have to be persecuted. The one who says that unless we lose our life, we won't save it. That we have to pick up our cross each day and follow him along the road to crucifixion. They come to talk to him. Your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside asking. It's a mysterious scene, but Jesus uses it as an extraordinary teaching moment. What it must have been like to be there in that house when he asked that question, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" At first, it was seeming as if he was disowning his beautiful mother, the incarnate fiat, and all his relatives according to Mary's immaculate flesh. But it wasn't. He was prepared to highlight the secret of Mary's fidelity, but then also the open secret of what he had come into the world to do. Looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, because whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus came from heaven to earth to found a family. That family would be constituted not merely by baptism, though that's the key at the beginning, but it's going to be by those who do the will of the Father. Those are his brothers and sisters, but he also says something really interesting here. Those likewise are his mothers. He doesn't say father, because he's got one father in heaven from whom he has received life according to the flesh, and also similarly in all eternity. But he does say mother, because in the Jewish mentality of the time, mother was the one who nurtured, mother was the one who raised in the faith. They thought that the entire principle of life came straight from the father, and the mom was the receptacle of that nascent life, but that the whole embryo, with terms that we would describe today, came from the dad, not from a combination between the dad and the mom. But the mom was the one who always nurtured life. Jesus would say, Mary was that nurture, and anyone who does the will of his Father in heaven is like a mother to him, would in a sense nurture his own doing the will of the Father. That's an extraordinary thing, that we can become the mother of Jesus according to the Spirit if we do the will of God. St. Ambrose, as I've shared with you before, It's one of the most important sayings coming out of the patristic era, if you ask me. St. Ambrose said that what happened in Mary is meant to happen in each of us in faith, that we conceive the seed of the Word within. We're supposed to become impregnated with that Word, and that Word's supposed to grow within us till it becomes so big that we can no longer contain it, and we have to, as the Spanish say, give it to the light. We have to give birth to the Word in deeds. We have to share that gift with others. That's what Jesus come from heaven to earth to be able to bring about in us. And that's the huge secret about Mary, that here was one whose whole life was a fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. It developed according to the Word and the will of the Lord. She, when this anonymous woman cried out, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee," Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Because that's why she was so much more blessed. St. Athanasius used to say in the early church, she conceived the word in her heart before she had ever conceived the word in her womb. And the great medieval artists would always depict the scene of the incarnation and the modality as conception through her ear. Because it came through faith, which comes ex auditu, from hearing, as St. Paul would write in his letter to the Romans. So to be brother, sister, and mother of Jesus by doing the will of the Father, that's what Jesus ultimately wants from us. But this shouldn't just be the way sometimes we look at doing the will of God. It's a preliminary stage, it's a step in the right direction, but it's not what God wants when we do it begrudgingly, we do it reluctantly, we do it against the grain, we do it with our teeth gritting. Still good to do the will of God, even if it's against the grain. But God wants something far more from us. That's why I love today's first reading. It will probably come as a terrible shock to you, sisters, but I'm not a dancer. And I'm not a fan of liturgical dancing. If you go to the church in Africa and you celebrate with Nigerians here in the States, you'll see in their Eucharistic procession that they actually have rhythm. And it's something really beautiful to see. And it's not egocentric in the least. It's joyful. I don't have that same charism. But nevertheless, I think that there's something really beautiful in today's first reading with David. There with the Ark of the Covenant, he couldn't control himself. He was dancing around, what's the word that's used? With abandon. Dancing with abandon, like a little child, extraordinarily happy. That's the way to do the will of the Lord. God wanted to come into a city, and David was fulfilling that plan to build a house for the Lord, as the Lord was building one for him. But David wasn't just going to do it as a command saying, "Yes, sir, whatever you want." He wasn't going to do it with reluctance. He was going to do it with abandon. How beautiful it is for us to imitate him in doing the will of the Lord with this type of exultant joy. When we are really doing the will of the Lord and really are doing it out of love for him, then we can, like Jesus, be a little out of our mind. As we behave with abandon, we abandon ourselves into his providential and caring arms. St. Marian Cope, whom the church in the U.S. celebrates today, was someone who not only did the will of the Lord, but did it with exuberance, did it with passionate love. She came to Utica, New York when she was one, the first of 10 children and the only one born in Germany of her parents. She was raised there. She went to school only to the 8th grade. Her father developed dementia. So after 8th grade, she had to go to work to support the family that had had 9 children here in the States by the time that she was 14. So she worked up until the time after her dad's death and the other children were old enough that her mom could care for them on her own and had enough resources to do so, that she was a late vocation. I will always, sisters, just, I think communities that put age limits on vocations may very well not be doing the will of God, but as an old vocation at the senescent age of 24, she applied to the Sisters of St. Francis, and they took her. But she had to go to high school, she had to go to college. She did. She became a teacher, and then a principal, and her organizational skills, her ability to teach the other teachers, the other sisters, was extraordinary. And so when the Sisters of St. Francis were asked to build hospitals to care for the sick, she, with no training, went and became the administrator building the hospital. But she recognized in order to be an effective administrator, she just couldn't be up there in the offices of administration in order to be able to serve not only the sick, but to serve her fellow sisters working in that hospital. She moonlighted and went to receive nursing training so that she could likewise be a nurse. Her skills were very well noticed by everybody in her community. Same with her goodness, the way that she would serve all of them in this humble way, with exuberance in doing the will of God. But when she was elected Superior General and Provincial, there was really only one province at the time of the Sisters of St. Francis, they received a letter from a bishop in Hawaii asking for sisters to come to run some schools and to care for some lepers. It would have been very easy for Sister Marianne Koch to just ask for volunteers. But before she asked, she said, "I'm going to be the first to go." So she let go of her office, and with six other sisters went to Hawaii in 1883. They ran some schools there on the island of Hawaii until 2 years before his death, it became apparent that St. Damien Molokai wasn't going to be able to make it. So they needed some sisters to go over and help him, care for him as he was dying, continue his work among the lepers, and then prepare others to come and minister to Christ in Kalaupapa. And so then she went there, helped St. Damien extraordinarily, and after he died in 1889, continued his beautiful and famous work all the way up until her death 90 years ago today. She was crazy at so many stages of her life, but as a sister and a brother and a mother of the Lord Jesus, she just sought to do his will so that he might grow within her and so that she might bring to birth the Lord Jesus in so many students, in so many patients, in so many lepers. Today, as we come forward to do this in the Lord's memory, even if we have no rhythm, let us inwardly dance as he deserves.